Welcome to this week's presentation of Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Please join us for the next half hour for what we pray will be an edifying time of thoughtful discussion and helpful dialogue on contemporary issues involving the precious truth of God's Word. Your hosts today are Pastors Ken Billings and Tim Goad.
Welcome back to Truth Matters. We are discussing, what are we discussing, guys?
We are discussing the modern day church movement.
Okay.
Versus the true church movement.
Right. And we're using as our kind of a guide for our discussion here, Mark Dever's book, The Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, written by Mark Dever, of course, forward by Joshua Harris, another good guy who wrote, what did he write?
I Kiss Dating Goodbye.
Stop Dating the Church.
He has another one called Not a Hint.
Not a
about,
Hint.
About lust.
Yeah, he's a good author in his own right.
Right.
So you would recommend him?
I would. I'd recommend Joshua Harris or Mark Dever, who also wrote a book called The Deliberate Church, which is kind of a follow-up to the Nine Marks book. Also a very good book. We're talking specifically about Mark number one, which deals with preaching, the importance of preaching. And in our last broadcast, we began to open this up and to discuss the various aspects of preaching. What did we discuss in that first broadcast? I think we only covered the definitions of the different kinds of preaching.
Right, that's right. Correct.
We talked about the anecdotal message that seems to be popular. That's the message in which the preacher primarily tells engaging stories with a moral lesson.
Right.
I think that's very popular today. I think we hear a lot of that.
And with all these different types of preaching, there's no we're not saying anecdotes are wrong.
No.
But when they support preaching is what we're saying, that's when it's necessary.
Exactly.
But some preachers, all they do is they tell stories basically from hello to amen, and that's their sermon.
Right. And that gets to kind of to the next type of message, and that's the biographical message.
Right.
We know, for example, that John Piper, a fantastic preacher, often does biographical studies, and those can be helpful as well.
Right. And there seems to be two types that he's talking about here. There's historical biographies where you talk about famous historical Christians like Calvin or Spurgeon in a sermon. But also there's biographical preaching where you speak about the life of Joshua or Moses or Abraham, biblical biographies.
Of course, exactly.
Which can be very expositional. I mean, you go verse by verse through the life of Abraham or Joshua or Gideon.
Right.
And it can be a very, very profitable study, and
exactly.
We would highly recommend that.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. We also talked about topical preaching, and we discussed the fact that this is not totally wrong.
Right.
It can be overused, as any of these methods can. Topical preaching, of course, is where you decide that there's something happening in the church, something happening in society, something that the Bible addresses very clearly, and you allow it to do that. Now, what's the definition of what we would deem bad topical preaching?
I would say it's when a pastor decides that he is going to preach to an agenda as opposed to, say, from specific scripture or from a book of the Bible. In other words, that now the sermon revolves more around the personality and the ideas of the preacher or the speaker as opposed coming from the Word of God.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think that it's, topical messages are very revealing as to, what the preacher is actually, what is his philosophy? I think we can see this much in the marquees, in front of churches.
Right.
I was in Georgia a few years back for a wedding, and I saw a sign of what the preacher was going to preach that particular Sunday. And it had the verse, "I will make you fishers of men." And underneath it said, "You catch them, and we'll clean them."
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's funny, and that's very catchy. Pun intended.
Nice.
Yeah, that was quick, wasn't it?
Very good.
I also noticed there's a church outside of New Braunfels where I live, and on the marquee of this church, it was a message about Transformers, and it's of course coincided with the release of the new Transformers movie.
Right, interesting.
And so the pastor decided that it would be a good time to talk about transformation. and things like this. He no doubt played clips from the movie.
Well, a lot of this is an attempt for churches to be modern, or what they would consider relevant,
right,
or to be kind of have a connection with pop culture and so right on. It doesn't look very catchy on a billboard to say, this week's sermon, 1 Peter 2, verse 1.
Right, because nobody knows what that is.
Right, and it's not catchy, to
right
use the pun that you used earlier. And again, there's nothing wrong with having billboards or signs on billboards and stuff.
No.
But it's indicative, I think, of sermons that are only about what a pastor wants or a preacher wants to speak about,
right,
as opposed to, again, preaching from the Word of God.
Of course.
Specifically.
Of course. Deborah defines a topical sermon as a sermon that has a topic in mind prior to consulting the text, and then searches for one or more biblical texts that address the topic chosen beforehand. And I think as we go through the importance of expositional or expository preaching, we'll kind of see the dangers of actually going that direction. There's also the textual message, and that's a sermon that refers often to a particular biblical text, but does not take the main point of the text as its own. Now, there is a distinction to be made there. We talked about Spurgeon,
right,
and how Spurgeon was largely a textual preacher.
Right.
Spurgeon did it right. He did it correctly because of his vast knowledge of the Word of God. He was able to apply various texts to that particular text and make it all work. But there's a lot of people out there who will pick a certain text and then stray far off the reservation and trying to make it mean something that the author never intended it to mean.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Right. Well, there's also a danger, even if you're trying to be careful, of every week preaching just, okay, this week, John 3:17. Next
right
week, you know, Leviticus 2:1 or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And each week is just a different text, and eventually people or the audience might think that each verse is almost in isolation. And that's one of the reasons as we get to expository preaching to talk about each text, not only within its context, within its book, within the scripture as a whole,
right,
and not a series of just isolated quotes
exactly
for morals' sake.
Exactly.
And there is, in fact, a legitimacy about textual preaching, in that as long as it's done correctly by the preacher, namely, he opens up the text, he tells the people what it is saying, like Ken said, in the context of that particular chapter, that particular book, and the whole Word of God. And then he exegetes, this is all part of hermeneutic, the science and art of interpretation, he exegetes a doctrine and says this is the doctrine that it is stating, and then, of course, he seeks to apply it to the personal life of
right
the hearers. So.
Yeah, and I think what you've just defined is expositional preaching.
Yeah, it is.
That's a sermon which takes the point of the text as the point of the sermon. And that's very important, because if we're to learn our Bibles precept upon precept, line upon line, verse upon verse, as you will, I think it's very critical that we become experts at exposition. You can kind of hear the word expose in that.
Right.
And that just means that we open up the Word of God line by line, precept upon precept, and we expose it for all it's worth, which is done through exegesis. Which, of course, is the extracting of
right
the information from the text itself, versus eisegesis, which is applying our own meaning to the text, regardless of what the author originally had.
And right it seems that this is
mind
what Paul implied when he said, you know, study the Word of God, so that you might be a workman that needs not be ashamed,
right,
making a straight cut in the Word of God. Sadly to say, many preachers should be ashamed of what they preach.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And but that being said, we digress.
Right. Well, we go on now to what Mark Dever calls the lay of the land. And now we're going to get into a few of the details concerning expositional or expository
right
preaching. First of all, he says the content of expositional preaching is the true Word of God. An exposition of Scripture simply seeks to uncover, explain, and apply the divinely intended meaning of the text. That's pretty powerful.
Absolutely.
And that's a distinction that we dare not ignore, because, after all, isn't our job, especially as pastors, not only as pastors, but as evangelists, as those who witness to others about Christ and about God's Word, isn't it our job to relate to them an application of the divinely intended meaning of the text?
Well, that was Paul's final kind of admonition to Timothy to preach the word.
Right.
I mean, that is, if you're a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, or, I mean, as you mentioned, even just simply a Christian, of course, I don't mean just simply a Christian, but just a regular old Christian, it is your job to be able to preach, to explain, not your feelings, not just your opinions, not isolated texts, but the Word of God as a whole.
Right.
And that is that's our job.
And what Paul said, actually, preach the Word, this is, in the Greek grammar, an aorist imperative.
Right.
It means with all urgency, with all diligence. It's not just, you know, go out there and preach the Word. The aorist imperative is distinct in the Greek language, which implies with all urgency.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be this urgency that this is what I'm called to do, and I'm not going to do anything but preach the word. In fact, in that whole text, there's six or seven aorist imperatives that apply the same thing. With all diligence, with all urgency, do this.
Exactly.
I know college professors, for example, that have devoted their lives to a specific author, like Shakespeare or Chaucer or whomever, and that's all they talk about. I mean, whatever books they're writing or articles they're writing or whatever classes they give, they're obsessed with that one author. That's who they've devoted their lives to. And in an even greater way, as Christians and specifically as teachers or preachers, it is our job to be devoted to one book.
Exactly.
This is it. I mean, of course, I'm not saying we don't read other books, but this is our goal. This is the focus of our preaching. When we stand up to preach, we're not, hopefully, not giving just our own just kind of spiel about things, but as we're looking at here, what you read by Dever, we want to uncover, explain, and apply the meaning of the text.
Right,
and that's our goal.
Exactly. Well, and you know, we've all been in those Bible studies, as I said last week, where you know somebody reads a passage and they go around the room and they say, "Okay, what does this mean to you?" Well, you know, it's really not important what it means to you, unless what it means to you is what God intended for it to mean.
Right.
I mean, that's the very important part about this. I fear that so many Bible studies are being conducted out there and people have no regard whatsoever for exegesis or for hermeneutics or for rightly divining, not only rightly dividing, but rightly divining the word of truth. So I think it's very important that the content of expositional preaching is the true word of God.
Absolutely.
Now, he also goes on to say the context of expositional preaching is the pure church of God. And he says, he qualifies that by saying the local church is God's primary receptacle for his preached word. And he also says this kind of preaching will prove itself relevant when the local community of believers backs it up with lifestyles marked by holiness, joy, and selfless service.
That's good.
Again, it's very important that this preaching be done in the context of the church of God, a pure church of God. Any thoughts on that?
No, I think here at Free Grace Baptist Church, and no pun intended, we practice what we are preaching. We indeed are committed to the instruction of God's people, and expositional preaching, as we've stated before, in the long term seems to be the very best. That is, the long-term goal, which is the spiritual maturation of each and every believer. And of course, you know, we do that to the best of our abilities, knowing that those who hear the preaching obviously have a great responsibility. And as Mark Dever said, to back it up, back up what we preach in their own lives, marked by holiness, joy, and selfless service to the community or to the church of the living God.
And isn't this in itself scriptural? I mean, James himself said, "Be ye doers of the word and not merely hearers only." And I think the church is full of hearers.
Yeah. Another thought about the context of expositional preaching being the church of God. There is, and this has been going on for a while, you know, quite a few decades, but just a heavy emphasis on the living room Bible study, where there's, as we just talked about before, people get in a circle and so on and just talk.
Right.
And first of all, there's ultimately nothing totally wrong with that. There's been a great work of God often in some of those Bible studies.
Of course. Right.
But there is an attraction for a lot of people there because there is no structure. There is no authority. They can just sit around, and this happens a lot, especially with young people in college groups. I remember in college groups, just the dorm room Bible study, which a lot of people, sadly, however, substitute for their church.
Right.
They don't care about their churches.
Exactly.
They don't go to their churches, but they go to those Bible studies. And part of it's because of that second part, because there's no accountability to live holy lives. You go there, you get some sort of good feeling about studying some scripture, but there isn't the church that's there to help you live that holy life.
Exactly.
And keep you accountable.
Exactly.
And again, getting back to the main issue about the church at large today, the modern church, what you have instead of a true or pure church is that you have this hybrid characteristic of church and world because of all of the worldly things that many are bringing into the church,
right.
The entertainment and whatnot. And so what you have is this hybrid characteristic of half church, half world, and that, of course, makes for a very weak and unspiritual body of Christ.
Well, that's that negative aspect of the leaven and the loaf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a sense in which that is spoken of positively as well in Scripture, but that's the sense in which it's negative. When you have this admixture, this amalgam of the world and the church. And that's what's wrong with the emerging or emergent church today. You know, their goal is to seek to be relevant to the people to whom they minister. And they've really thrown the baby out with the bathwater. It's okay to be relevant. I think we ought to incorporate in our preaching some modicum of desire to meet people where they are, to address the needs of the day, to address things that are happening in the church. But not at the expense of truth. If the truth you're dealing with from God's Word deals with that, then by all means we should express that. But we don't make special considerations, you know, have special guests and, you know, clown and puppet shows and Starbucks and Krispy Kreme in the lobby and just to meet people's felt needs. We need to make sure that the Word of God serves a primary place in it. Well, this kind of leads to the goal of expositional preaching. And that is for the people of God to hear and heed the Word of God. And Deborah says, in this sense, expositional preachers are modern-day prophets, serving merely as conduits through which the Word of God may flow into the people of God in order to do the work of God in them. Again, I think it's a very valid point, especially for those of us who preach and teach.
Right. It is also a very fearful thing to consider that this... this medium, we are the mediums of God, not in the occult sense, of course,
exactly.
but we are the voice, the mouthpiece of God for His people. And that just causes me to shudder and tremble to think of that responsibility and how much I should take heed to that and be the very purest of mouthpieces that I possibly can.
Right.
And I know you men feel the same way.
Of course. Of course, again, it's one of those things I don't think is emphasized nearly enough. I think we have a lot of professional preachers out there whose only desire is to impress, to perhaps titillate intellectually, to not to challenge from God's Word, not to exhort from God's Word, not to fill their congregants with the Word of God, but simply just to talk to them as one might talk to a friend and tell them everything's going to be all right because God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We need to get back to this, the primacy of preaching as if we were the very mouthpieces.
Right. But it would be a good question for anyone out there to ask their pastor, what is the purpose of the sermon you preached? Why were you preaching to us? What was the goal of your sermon?
Right.
Now, they might not be totally honest. They might not say the things, but I have a feeling that a lot of the reasons that men are preaching a specific sermon is to either entertain, to just simply inform, maybe to show off, or for whatever reason. But the real reason should be, as a preacher, my goal is to take the Word of God and make it understandable and clear to the people of God so that they can live the Word of God. I mean, that should be it. But I have a feeling that many preachers, and in fact I know many preachers, that's not their main goal. Their main goal is to not offend or to grow in numbers or to entertain or whatever. But I think if you're listening to this radio program, you need to be asking your preachers, hold them accountable. Why are you preaching? What is the goal? What is your purpose in preaching?
Exactly.
And I think their answers will be very instructive.
I think so, too. And I would also go so far as to say, don't be afraid to challenge your pastor. Don't be afraid to question your pastor. Don't be afraid to find yourself in a role of advising your pastor. You know,
right.
We're human too, and we need that feedback. We need that that iron sharpening iron, as it were. And that's important because we're mere mortals as well, and we don't know everything. But what does that imply? If you're going to come to me with a challenge, if you're going to come to me with a legitimate question about something I've said, what does that imply about you? Well, that implies that you need to know your word as well.
Well, the classic example, of course, is in Acts 17,
right,
Bereans.
Right.
I mean, Paul, the apostle, would preach.
Right.
And they would listen respectfully, and then they would go back to their synagogues, open up the Old Testament, and
right.
search diligently, day by day, to see if those things were true.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is, I mean, we talk about the Berean spirit has become almost cliche, but it is the most important spirit almost that a church can have.
Yeah, and listen to this. I'll actually read it. It says, in Acts 17:10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. And in Acts 17:11, it says, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Well, the reason's provided here. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Acts 17:12. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. So you see, you know, first we have this idea of them being more noble
right.
than those in Thessalonica because of their due diligence to ensure that what Paul and Silas were saying to them was actually the truth.
Well, the three activities that we have here of this Berean church, they received it, they examined it, and then they believed it.
Exactly.
And they didn't believe it first, and then, they said, no, let's receive, which every person in every congregation should do. Let's listen to the preacher.
Right.
Let's examine it. And if
right.
these things be so, then we believe it.
Exactly.
And that's just a wonderful, wonderful example of how every local church should be a mark of a healthy church.
Exactly.
And what it seems
exactly.
is that they received it as the very word of God coming through human beings.
Right.
And, you know, that's, excuse me, why Paul would say, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us.
Exactly.
And I'm sure he preached the same thing. We beg, or we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's
right.
what he preached. That's
exactly.
the essence of the gospel.
Exactly. And that's what we preach here at Free Grace Baptist Church.
Exactly.
As we close down here, I see that we only have a minute left as we
wow.
close down. Just to remind our listeners, we are from the Free Grace Baptist Church, 1801 Thorain Boulevard, here in San Antonio.
Probably need a GPS or something to find us, though, if you're
yeah.
coming to look for us.
We're kind of out of the way, but I guarantee you it will be well worth your expenditure of time to look us up.
We hope so. We hope so.
I know so.
You think so?
I think so. No, I know so.
Come and welcome.
You're confusing me. But if you'd like to hear, you know, some of our messages as a preview to your visit with us, you can go out to www.sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist, and you'll hear not only all of these Truth Matters broadcasts, but our sermons at the Free Grace Baptist Church
right.
As well. So join us next time. We're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to talk about the dangers associated with those types of preaching that we discussed earlier and get into a little more depth.
Great.
Okay? See you then.
Thank you for listening to Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Free Grace Baptist Church is located at 1801 Thorain Boulevard. Meeting times each Lord's Day are 9:45 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1:30 p.m. Our weekly prayer meetings are held each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. If you would like to visit on the web, you can find us at freegracebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening, and may God continue to richly bless you through the faithful study of His Word.